Hello and welcome to episode 8 of All Songs Are Love Songs, in which I, Rowan, do my best to convince you and our resident judge, Erica, that all songs ever written qualify as love songs. In previous episodes, guests have brought songs as evidence to dispute my claim, and Judge Erica has been the final decider of who won each debate. In this very special episode, for the first time, I'm about to be dragged before the Court of Appeals by Lee Mason on the basis of an unfair previous trial.
It was highlighted that the addition of rebuttal time is an influential part of any argument.
If you'd like to hear the original debate and Judge Erica's ruling, it's on episode 4. Otherwise, let's head into the gallery of the Court of Appeals.
All songs, love songs, the love songs.
The Court of Appeals.
Good day and welcome to the Court of Appeals. And today, as the prosecution, we have Lee Mason returning. Lee, how are you today?
Oh, I'm fantastic, Erica. In fact, as some would say, I'm still hopped up on dopamine after my recent win.
Well, confidence is important in the Court of Erica. That is excellent news. And what song are you presenting to the Court of Appeals today?
Erica, I'm delighted to return to the courtroom to represent Killing in the Name Of by Rage Against the Machine.
Killing in the Name Of!
My reason for appeal is that since our early episode, the format of this entire judgment, the podcast, has changed. It was highlighted that the addition of rebuttal time is an influential part of any argument, and I didn't get a fair shot. Also, I was young and maybe a little overconfident, but now I've got time and wisdom under my belt. I'm thoroughly researched, and I feel like I can do right by this argument that not all songs are love songs.
That is an excellent point, prosecution. This court is big enough to admit when perhaps someone wasn't given a fair shake. So, keeping that in mind today in the courtroom, Rowan, as the defense, please tell us why Killing in the Name Of is, in fact, a love song.
Thank you very much, Judge Erica. Just to quickly recap, this is the second time we're debating this song. The first time, you agreed with me that this was a love song. Lee described it as flour and egg cake, but with punchy citrus and blueberries filling. He called it a screamy, sweary Christmas song, not joyful, not full of love, a rage-filled protest song against the powers that be. However, I was able to sway you that protest songs are filled with passion and love for humanity, protesting to defend things you love, siblings, community, protecting your community at large. Themes are anti-racist, therefore about tearing down barriers and bringing people together. I will aim to strengthen my arguments right now as our second round through. So defending a powerless person against violence and intimidation is an act of courage and love. Sticking up for many groups of people against systematic oppression is an even greater act of love. That's why protest songs are love songs. Now, the lead singer of Rage Against the Machine, Zach de la Rocha, which would be Zach of the Rock, his Mexican-American parents with some African, Jewish, German, and Irish heritage as well. His paternal grandfather was a Mexican revolutionary. His father was an artist, his mother an anthropologist, studying human society and culture. So Zach exemplifies awareness, diversity, and unity. The product of passionate and politically engaged parents and grandparents, he became a political artist. Art is about expression. And political engagement is about seeing what happens in the world, wanting the best for people, and caring deeply about right and wrong. Political engagement and art are both expressions of love. The ingredients in the crucible of his life are smelted into a hot mixture of passion and poured out to shape his best-known love song, Killing in the Name Of. Zach discussed the power of speech with Garth Richardson, the producer of the song and the album it came from. He said whatever he needed to say, he had to say it. Malcolm X was a major influence on his life, and he wouldn't back down. He was surrounded by racism, and he wanted a better world. So he made his dream heard through his art. Also reflected in the powerful single cover, the artwork they used as the cover, for killing in the name of. The Vietnamese monk, self-immolating, setting himself on fire. He famously sat calmly all the way through till death. So greatly did he love his people and protest the religious persecution by the South Vietnamese government. At the time, it was shortly following the LA riots after the beating of Rodney King in 1991 and the acquittal of the responsible officers. So the background is just a lot of things to protest, a lot of love needed to try and heal this broken world. Zach's love for community bursts through the lyrics, but also in actions. The band, in fact, donated a portion of the profits from the track to a homeless charity called Shelter. The instruments are vital to this song's message, indeed. It was originally intended as an instrumental track. The savage hooks and pounding rhythm are brutal and raw, exploiting jarring notes in the guitar riff and elevating the passion of the song. This isn't a gentle, oh, I love you ditty. It's a roar of unrestrained passion and unrelenting demand for a better world out of love for the people living in it, from the drums and guitars to the vocals and the lyrics. The climax of the song, 16 times, F you, I won't do what you tell me. Then, mother effer, rah! It's a primal scream, an anthem of love for humanity, a burning desire to see people fulfilling their greatest potential by eradicating racism and division, a song screaming out for justice, unity, and love. I rest my case.
Thank you, Rowan. Hot mixture of passion should be printed on a t-shirt. Lee, are you still feeling confident?
I am indeed, Judge Erica, and thank you for checking in on my emotional state.
Please tell us why killing in the name of is not.
First of all, I'd like to applaud Zach of The Rock for doing everything that he has and everything that is achieved. Out of love for his fellow man, as the defense so eloquently stated, and what a beautiful defense it was. However, in our original case, it was ruled that this song was in fact a love song based on the grounds that it's a protest song. And as the defense cited, protest songs are said to come from a place of passion and therefore they are a form of love, which was left undisputed because there was no time for rebuttal. And I am grateful to you, the Right Honorable Judge, for giving me this opportunity to now rebuttal in a hope that justice can finally be served here in this case. To say just because a song is a protest song, it is therefore a love song as a blanket statement is like saying all songs are love songs, a point that has been disproven here in this court on more than one occasion. Therefore, I implore you to preside over this case with an open mind in spite of everything that you've heard before this point in time. Open that mind and open your heart. While it is fair to say that some songs are indeed love songs, you could even go as far as to say many songs are love songs, but making such an ultimate statement as to say all songs are love songs would suggest a certain sense of denial, a lack of big picture thinking, or maybe even bias as is being attacked in this very piece in question. While it is true, this song is a protest song, previously discussed in the original case, it was penned in the frustration and outrage of inequality and police brutality, injustice and racial profiling that is still prevalent within the US law enforcement community, with the case of Rodney King, as correctly mentioned by the defense, being the catalyst for this particular protest piece. While I must add that I too am disgusted by such actions, that's not what is being tried here today. Today we ask if this song, Killing in the Name Of, this standalone piece of art, this musical composition, is indeed a love song. So I would like to call my first witness, Siri. Hey, Siri.
What?
Define love song.
The definition of the word love song is a song about love or expressing love for another person.
A song about love or expressing love for another person. When you look at the list of greatest love songs of all time, there is a common theme, a gentle musical composition and style and lyrics about love or affection. Think of the greats like Unchained Melody, by the Righteous Brothers, Your Song by Elton John, My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion, Endless Love, Time After Time, Everything I Do It For You. The list is endless. The common theme is that of a gentle musical composition and lyrics bearing affection. This song has neither. Just listening to this song, it is clearly not romantic in style. I believe the musical style was already cited by the defense. It has a heavily aggressive thrashing guitar and drum element with erratic changes in rhythm and tempo, punctuated perfectly at the end of the song, which builds into a huge crescendo, an eventual swell of profanity and a primal scream. Examining the piece lyrically, there is no mention of love or romantic intent. Instead, there's a lot of screaming and shouting, an excessive use of profanity in its closing section. This song is, in essence, angry. It's a rage-filled anthem. It's rejecting a broken system and calling out the wolves in sheep's clothing. It holds a mirror to the face of a corrupt system, but at no point in this song does it mention love. Does it say, F you, I won't do what you tell me because I love my fellow man? That's left unsaid. In fact, the only lyrical element that could be conceived as slightly romantic would be the use of the term mother effer, but I don't believe that's used in a romantic context and more as an insult. This song rejects everything that is happening. It says no, and no means no. And I say, no, this song is not a love song. I rest my case.
All songs are love songs. All songs are love songs. All songs are love songs. All songs are love songs.
This court needs a moment. Rowan, as you are entitled to 30 seconds of rebuttal, would you like to use that now?
I would love to use that now. Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, I would appeal to you to say that you, of all people, should agree that Siri is an unreliable witness. However, she said it's a song about love or expressing love for another person. This is a song expressing love for another person. It's a song about fairness and justice because it's a protest song, which needs a sense of fairness and justice, which needs love for the people that you want justice for. The style of the song, using shouting and profanity, does not exclude love songs. And Lee is correct. It does leave things unsaid. It leaves the love unsaid explicitly because it doesn't need saying. It's implied through the lyrics. That's it. Thank you.
Wow. Gentlemen, this has been quite the battle this morning.
This is intense.
From systematic oppression, political arts, to a hot mixture of passion, over to our first witness having been called in courtroom. I am feeling a lot of ways. I think we are about to experience history today. Ladies and gentlemen of the gallery, I do now believe this is not your last.
Yes! Yes!
No!
Yes!
No! What? You believe Siri?
Siri. Lee's Siri is far more reliable than my own.
Because yours is tired. Your Siri is tired because she has to deal with all your workouts. Mine just researches things online. Absolutely ecstatic. I'll be honest with you. It was feigned confidence. I'm delighted.
I'm feeling like all my beliefs are challenged. You also got me with keeping my mind open that not all protest songs have to be love songs. I feel like I'm growing as a judge.
Yeah.
Yeah, questioning your own biases. I think that's incredibly important.
The Court of Appeals.
Well, a big thank you to Lee for raking me across the coals there and to Judge Erica for her wisdom. In the next episode, we'll have more songs to debate. So for now, if anyone needs me, I'll be in the corner licking my wounds. See you next time. All songs to love.
love songs.